Excellent.
Yeah. Great.
Cute.
Today's my birthday. So
yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Best yet to come.
Yes. I saw God's big book yesterday, turn a page.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing was written on it yet. So I figured I have the key of David. I can open it or I can close. So I'm asking God to help me engage wisdom and not to do dumb stuff with it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm 25 all over again, and we know that's not true. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, Joshua was, and Caleb was 84, and he was going in and out to war.
Yeah.
Tackling the giants and taking the hill country. You know, there's nothing in the kingdom which is a hindrance with age, and particularly as we're looking to get transformed and begin to live from the eternal perspective now. So we don't need to be concerned with age. I fully intend to live either until I walk like Enoch into the realm of the kingdom and don't come back, or
Jesus. That's what I'm going to do.
I have no intention of physically dying in the meantime, because that's not my inheritance.
That's right.
I'm not wanting to frame my life around death.
Amen. You know?
Frame my life around the living promise of God that I can live forever and I can have
everlasting. I accept that promise too. I always have believed that we can be like Enoch, and that heaven is here and now, mm-hmm. and we dwell in that it's like the realm where God's kingdom and earth meet, and we dwell there, and we can look in from either perspective,
yeah.
and we can have eternity now, and I believe it, because Jesus said, if you partake of him, you shall not see death.
Yeah.
So death is vanquished.
Yeah. But that's really where the order of Melchizedek comes in, because the order of Melchizedek had no genealogy, which means nothing that we've inherited from our autosomes, which is the record of our past generations, would bring death to us if we're actually purified, refined, and transfigured into the image of Jesus. And that's part of what the transformation process that needs to take place with that in the order of Melchizedek, so we can operate in the fullness of who we are from that perspective of the end and the beginning and the circle that brings them into the today, so we can look back into, you know, who we were and bring that into manifestation today, which takes some effort. But without it, you know, I don't want things in my genetic material triggering death or anything else that the enemy may have sown or planted there over the last, you know, several thousand years. So I want life. You know, and I think that's the key, operating in the life that comes from the DNA of God and being transformed into his image, you know, which is a lot of where things are right now, I think. You know, that's good. Anyway, so when we sort of started off this group, we were really looking at, you know, engaging government and, you know, how we look to administrate benches of three and authorities and mountains. You know, have you got any clearer idea about, you know, what your spheres are? Because in a sense, you live in different places, so it's not just a physical sphere, but actually, what is the spiritual authority that God would release you into, and you know, how can I help with that? Because I'm aware of what I'm going to be doing going forward in terms of equipping people to be mentors of this next generation. Those that embrace that will need to operate in governmental authority, because that is what we'll be teaching people to do, to administer the kingdom from heaven. So I'm just sort of interested to find out, you know, where you are in that. Have you got any sort of further revelation or inklings into that? Now, obviously, I've been meeting with a number of you for a while, just so I sort of can gauge where things are with you. going forward. Because I think a number of you have signed up for being part of these mentoring groups, which is great. But you know, going forward, I just want to see what, you know, where we are really. So, who wants to have a?
I can say something.
Yeah.
My role has become a lot more clear.
Yeah.
And for right now, it's like I'm an intercessor, and I'm still growing. And there's certain things I have to get through in order to get my, you know, a good role in the government of God. So I'm still learning. Yeah, but just my role has become a lot more clear and serious in the government, you know. So that's it.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Okay. I can talk a little bit on that. Yeah. I just feel in the last, it's just maybe a month,
yeah,
that I've been repositioned with clarity and focusing where I'm at right now. So I feel like I'm getting ready to be, I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but everything has shifted in the last 2 months, and I'm now going to be planted in a church. I haven't really wanted to do that for like 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going around eating grass and, you know, in the city and networking and stuff. And this is the first time that I've wanted to plant myself. So it feels really good. I'm found a crazy house. It just feels that God has repositioned and relationships and where I'm located to be able to learn all the things that I need to learn to legislate government.
Yeah.
I've tried a little bit and I've done a little bit, and I feel that the foundation is being poured and I'm being cemented and positioned to be able to do that. Okay. So yeah. I think that's an important step, and I feel like I have a lot to learn, and I'm ready for that and ready to do business.
That's good. I mean, one of the things that God is doing in this time is strategic alliances of relational connections that will be for the advancement of the kingdom, and I think we need to look out for those at this point in time in what God's doing. The key is obviously not doing it on our own. That's why benches of three are really important, because that gives you the checks and balances of different gift mixes and openness, honesty, transparency of what we're doing. Because what will happen when you begin to form any sort of governance and alliance and essentially a bench of three type authority in the realms of heaven, because that's where it needs to be recognized. You know, it doesn't really matter whether people recognize it here or recognize us here. That's not the issue. So long as we are recognized in heaven and the angelic realm and the host recognize us in our authority and our positions, that's what really matters. But in doing that, what generally happens is everything gets exposed and brought to the surface, because we're stepping into a new realm and we're looking to administer things that we need to know that we can trust one another, that we can have totally open, honest communication, that there's nothing that we can't say, that we can share our hearts openly, knowing that we'll be heard, and we can, in a culture of honor, work through anything which is a hindrance to that. You know, in our bench of three here, it took us about 4 or 5 months of really, before the other two would even accept the position to become part of the bench, they had to get everything out. And first of all, it was like, well, we know we're called, but actually we don't feel we're equipped, we don't think we can do this. Actually, we don't trust the position because of previous situations where we've been let down and all that stuff. You know, we had to get it all out. And we went through, we met every week for 4 or 5 months, and we just got everything out. And we created an atmosphere and an environment of trust, honor, where there's no-go areas, where we're able to challenge each other in love, where we can, in love, really begin to seek the best for each other and everything else. That is not an easy process.
You know, no, it's not.
It's not an easy process, but we cannot afford, if we're going to operate in that level of governmental authority, not to be in unity of heart and mind. We have to carry each other in our hearts. We have to carry each other and the desires for each other's blessing and for God's purposes for each other. It's not just a matter of saying, great, we'll form a bench of three. If people just form a bench of three on the basis of just, oh, well, we think we can do this, they'll get absolutely destroyed if they do not deal with the motives of the heart and everything else that come up when these things do. And I've been there myself. You know, I had to face all the negative trading that I'd done in my life, and it wasn't very pleasant. But actually, I would not be in the place I am now if I wasn't willing to own those things, be purified and refined, get them dealt with. I'm willing for other people to say, why are you reacting that way? What's that coming out of? Have you checked your motives in saying that, doing that? And so, okay, yeah, I need to go and, you know, and obviously God gave me a system, you know, which I shared with you, that diagram of how you use trauma and things that happen in us to bring transformation, so we can use the issues and things that come up as a springboard to change and growth and overcoming. You know, I had to go through all that, and I think if you're going to really operate in that sort of level of government, we can't afford the enemy to have things in us that we know. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but where we know there's things, or we know that person sort of winds me up a little bit here, and why am I reacting this way? The things that we know and the things that we don't know, which is our hidden self, we've got to be willing to other people to reveal those things and give them permission to do so, which is not always the most comfortable place to be in. But actually, you create an environment where you're totally for someone, they're totally for you. You know you can administrate the kingdom from a position of expanding God's government and his glory and for his honor and nothing for ourselves when we've worked through a lot of stuff. So, you know, those who think government is, oh, yeah, I want to, you know, there's a process. You know, there's a process, there's a refining process, and there's an honesty and openness process that you have to go through. And in it, you really find out who you can trust, you know, because those will stick with it and stick with you, and you'll stick with them because you know there's nothing you can't work through, and there's nothing you can share, and there's nothing you're not prepared to deal with, because you know you're loved, you know you're accepted. You know, we can know that in God, and that gives us freedom in our relationships with people, not to be intimidated or affected by how they think about us, because actually that comes from God. My identity comes from God, not what I'm doing or not in my relationship with anyone else, but in those relationships with other people, actually to know that you are in unity and know what unity really means of heart and purpose and mind is a real blessing to be in. You know, having not been in it and now having been in it with several groups, you know, I know what it feels like to know people who've got your back, and they are there for you, and you're there for them. And then you're able to receive and see the bigger picture from the perspective of others. Because, you know, in our bench of three, we have an apostolic and a prophetic and a kingly function, and we see the picture differently from different faces of the lion, the ox, and the eagle. And then, you know, so it's really, really important that we are able to share and then pull what we've seen and pull it together in things. Because I'm always looking to fly high and see the bigger picture and see what it looks like from above and see the blueprint and see how, well, that looks. You know, our kingly function is always about, okay, how can this be administrated and brought onto the ground so that people can engage it and people can access it and it will work? And our prophetic person, she's always coming from a place of, I had this vision, I had this dream the other day, God showed me this, and then we bring what we've seen when we step into heaven and we engage the scroll or our book, we bring these things, and all of a sudden they just all start to make sense, you know? And once they, then you see the bigger picture, then you submit the areas to each other, you know, because I want to know what they see, because they'll see things that I don't, and there's no threat in that, because they see things I don't, so why wouldn't I want to see? It's nothing to do with anything about position or anything, it's just about we're here to further the purposes of kingdom, and that means we need to be really willing to embrace a whole different order, because the order of Melchizedek does not come out of genealogy, so it comes out of a whole different sense of engaging with destiny from eternity past. You know, when we step together, you know, and engage particularly around the ark of the presence of God, we are engaging with that which is the beginning and the end. And we're manifesting that which is there into the present. What, you know, Pena was saying earlier, we have to bring the future and the past together from the beginning and the end so we can manifest in the day. And that means looking into and seeing what it looked like before, you know. And, you know, I want to see what it looked like in eternity. I want to see what it looked like before Adam fell. You know, what did the kingdom look like? You know, what did my mountain look like from that perspective before sin had messed things up? Because actually that's what we're called to actually restore back to original purpose and condition. You know, and I'm absolutely convinced that God wants to establish cities of refuge, apostolic resource centers, habitations of God, revival centers, call what you may, but places where the kingdom is going to be administered. And what I like to really call them is embassies of heaven. And those embassies of heaven, you live in an embassy and you're not governed by the culture and the nation that you're living in. You're governed by the nation that sent you. And we're not sent to work diplomacy. We're sent to work conquest. You know, we're supposed to bring dominion, to subdue the world and bring it into the government of God, which means we need centers of security, safety, and provision to be, you know, God gave us a phrase a number of years ago, and it's castrapona, and it's a Latin term for what they did when they set up an administrative base in a position so that the army could then go from that position of strength and take greater ground. And God wants to establish those things on earth, administered out of heaven, reflecting the government of God, but operating in the supernatural dimensions of God's kingdom, so we can equip people to then go out. And, you know, I believe those are the storehouses of Joseph, who received 20% of the harvest into those storehouses, and they became the resource for the world. The whole world came. And I believe that the kingdom of God, the mountain of the house of God, is going to be raised up above all the other mountains of the world, and that all the hills will stream to that higher authority, because we're demonstrating the kingdom. We're living under the economy of heaven. We're living under the health system of heaven. We're living under the government of heaven. We're not confined to the physical laws. We will have superseded them in dimension, so that we will radiate glory, so that we will live in total health, that we will live actually living without sin, because we choose not to, because we're choosing from a position of where it was no sin. There was no sin in the beginning. And we can live today in the benefit of that, but we have to deal with stuff to get us to that point. And that is where God is calling for a Joshua generation, an order of Melchizedek, to actually say, yeah, that's me. I'm willing to pay the cost to embrace that supernatural lifestyle of sonship and begin to manifest the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. Because that's what it says in Romans. The whole of creation is going to be brought into the freedom of the glory of God's sons. And what does that look like? I mean, it's like I just, well, let's look back to see what it would have looked like, and let's look forward to see what it is going to be, and let's bring it into today. You know, so I'm sort of really excited because I've had a whole month of download of revelation. My journal for June is twice the size of my journal for May because I've just been spending time just looking into these things and learning to step into the four faces of God and looking to see how I can engage the timeline and see what my mountain would be and should be and manifest it into today. So it's good stuff. I wouldn't want anyone to be under any illusions that it's going to be an easy process, but it can be a peaceful, joyful, full of love process if we surrender and embrace it. You know, better to fall on the rock than the rock fall on us. And it's that sense that I am voluntarily surrendering myself as a living sacrifice to embrace my destiny, and whatever God needs to do in my heart, in my seed, in my blood, my genetic, anything, he knows he's got total permission to do it. So that I can live and walk in this order. You know, because it's after that order that we're going to see the administration of the 12 chancellors' houses of heaven released onto earth. So we begin to minister stuff, and most people have only know one house, which is the order of Melchizedek, which is the treasury room. What about the other high chancellors' houses that we need to see and engage and see released in government? Well, we're not going to do that until we embrace our destiny and that order and be willing to go for it. But hey, I think, you know, I believe next year is a really significant year in that it is 40 years, one generation since the billionfold harvest was prophesied by Bob Jones in 1975. A whole generation has lived under that prophecy, and actually most have stayed in the wilderness. And a whole generation will have passed next year. So it is a significant time when there is going to be opportunity to step across. That whatever people's Jordan is, we're going to get to step across by taking a step of faith. Moses is not going to open it up for us. We're going to step into it to see it open. That's embracing a whole different governmental perspective as sons in the kingdom. And unfortunately, there will be those probably will be like Moses and the generation that stayed on the other side and did not embrace. But that's why I feel it's so important to raise up this Joshua generation now, because we've got to be ready for what's coming. You know, we've had 40 years to be ready, and we've really not embraced that. You know, we've gone through the prophetic, we've gone through the apostolic, and now actually God's saying, you didn't really equip the body. Now I have to release the order of Melchizedek to do it. And that's going to be a challenge what's coming. But hey, those who are hearing the sound of heaven and those who are embracing that sound are being drawn towards that destiny in God.
I think that you just got plugged into a socket. I'm serious. What you're saying, I want to go back and repeat it over and over until I can say it verbatim what you just said in the last 10 minutes. Anyway, in a way I was like going, stop, you're stealing my thunder. But your thunder was like, because right before you were saying about the Joseph, I was like going, my husband and I, we feel like we're called to be Josephs. And then you started talking. I went, okay, just tell me prophetically what it is. And you were saying about the security and the safety and the provision. And so I say, it can a mountain be evangelism? Mm-hmm. But then I said, well, it's a people group. And I felt like the place where I start walking in that other realm is when I'm ministering and talking to people who have actually, the New Agers who have gone and captured what we're supposed to capture. It's like they've gone to get the nuggets of the certain things that they've opened up. If you can do it and go into the supply and then bring it, then you're starting to actually grab what they have, and there's a joy that comes with that. It's like an exhilaration because you're taking the nuggets of heaven that they were willing to go that we weren't as Christians. I don't know. There's something there. But anyway, I have dreams about that we are provisions. We're a storehouse. Our basement is full of provision for people, and they're coming and they're going, and we've taken dominion over circumstances, and we're free of encumbrances, and we're able to give in, and they're attracted to the light. It's like a mountain. So I don't know if our mountain is the New Age or if it's just people, anybody around us that's willing to come. I'm not sure. I would love to get more clarity about what my mountain is, but I know right now we're taking dominion over circumstances, and we've had the last 2 to 3 years just everything come against us, and we're learning how to just go to fly. You know, it's like this and that and this. It's been very hard, but we're coming out and flying almost like a wave, like a wave. We're riding the wave, and so I'm ready for next year because we're going to be on that wave, and we're taking dominion. When you said that, I'm just like want to cry because that's us, that Joseph generation. So, yay! I'm not saying it as good as you, but I just want you to know my excitement.
Yeah, I can say the same thing. I was really just resonating and vibrating when you were talking because just going through the process of the Lord showing that I'm a Joseph, and I mean, just I didn't want to be, and I don't, you know, I was like, no, he did was in prison, and anyway, so the whole process. But when you were talking, I have to agree with Lainey that I was just resonating and starting to vibrate, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, the last month I've really just been soaking and resonating in this stuff, you know, looking into the fire stones and beginning to see in those fire stones just the deeper things. My spirit has been receiving revelation that my mind has not been able to contain or even understand, but my spirit has been engaging in it. I've been looking deeper into the 12 laws that are coming out of Mount Zion and the administration of the kingdom in the realms of heaven. Just things that, you know, that I'm beginning to birth them in my heart, and because I've been creating and culturing that desire and building the desire for it, that sort of will overcome everything else that's a hindrance to it. But what I found is that then when I'm minister on my throne and I get on my throne, the crown that I have has got 12 jewels in it. And representing obviously the 12 stones on the breastplate and the 12 foundations of Jerusalem, and I found that they are resonating, that they have what received that frequency that's come out of what I've been soaking in and experiencing, and when I'm sat there, they just begin to start coming through. Different stones at different times just begin to start releasing a river that's flowing from my innermost being, from that throne. You know, I've sort of experienced the river coming through the garden of my heart and looking to come out to create the atmosphere around me and create that spiritual zone around me. But actually this is administering out of heaven, coming out of my throne in heaven, and the river is flowing with the colors of those stones. You know, my spirit just starts doing stuff there because of this sort of dimension of the resonant frequency of this things that God is releasing, and the sound and the color, that those frequencies that are in heaven in those fire stones. Because there's only 9 fire stones, but there's 12 stones, and we get to make up the other 3. It's the stones of our sonship that actually bring full government. Because in a sense, the 3 by 3 by 3, the 3 layers or skins of the Father, the 3 of the Son, and the 3 of the Spirit, and the 3 light DNA strands that compose that, it all brings completeness in a sense, because it all adds up to itself. You know, if you have nine, nine always adds up to itself. So two nines are 18. One plus eight is nine. Three nines are 27. Two plus seven is nine. Four nines, 36. Three plus six is nine. There's always a total completeness in that three times three. But that's not the fullness of government. Because the nine stones on Satan's body was only to reflect out what represented God's government. And God has called us into sonship to be part of the 12 stones of full government. Which is just amazing to think that we are called to administer creation in the government of God, and God's government is incomplete without us, which is the way he's ordained it. And it's just like, it sort of just, when I think of it, I'm just like, wow. But when I've engaged with those stones, it's like my stones begin to be released, I guess, and the calling into this sonship. You know, I long for creation to be set free from that which it's holding it in bondage. And what is it going to be set free into? The freedom of the glory of us. It's our radiance that creation has always been waiting for. And if you look back into Adam and Eve and look back into the past, and you can see them as being beings of light, that light as they... You know, that light of the spirit that was around them enabled them to walk into the realms physically, into the realms of the supernatural, what we call now, but they were just the realms of heaven. So they had access to walk into the realms of heaven because they were spiritually clothed with glory, if you like. And their spirit was manifesting and radiating, and everything was just in unity. And I want to be that way again, you know, because we've been robbed of that and God is restoring it. You know, and Jesus is not coming back, according to Acts 3:19-21, until the restoration of everything as spoken by those prophets in ancient times. And that goes right back to what God said at the beginning when he said, let there be light. And what he said before that, it's like it goes back to that. And it goes back to what he said about me and the thoughts he had about me in his heart, where I am conceived. You know, and I've been back into his heart a couple of times and seen the thoughts, and it's an amazing place, just where I was conceived. I've been home, if you like, and felt this is where I came from, and it connected me to my destiny in an even greater dimension. God is just calling us into that revelation of who we were, so that we bring who we were into who we are now and manifest that on the earth, you know, so that everything will be restored. And I really desperately want to see that restored. And what we take into our hearts and what we cultivate in desire will be what we have authority to release. So whatever your mountain is, whether it's a people group, whether it's a group of people, whether it's an area or a city or a nation, if it is not in our hearts, then we have no authority to administer it. And it takes time to get something in our hearts. You know, initially, when God called me to reach out further afield, you know, he took me up into the solar system and showed me the world. And it, I don't know how far I were away. I was just sort of out there hanging, and it's like I saw the world as a football size. And he said, take it in your heart. Now, I knew what he meant, but there I had no reticence. I just took it into my heart. And that was over a year ago. And the whole year has been about cultivating the desire of what that was, so that it's a real expression of the desires of my heart, not just what God got me to place within. And it's changed how I view everything. You know, it's changed the desires of what I want to do with my time, of what I want to spend my priorities doing, you know, everything, because now I'm willing to sacrifice for it, for that. And on Sunday, I had an encounter where I was I was taken into the whole thing of going beyond the planet into the created universe and carrying the responsibility for that and birthing that. I mean, I find it very difficult to describe. I just know what it was an expansion of, because I felt God say, you know, you've been faithful with the little I gave you, you know, now there's more coming. And that is the whole of created order, ultimately, for all of us. Should we be willing to be faithful with the little and learn to embrace it? And so it was just like, oh, wow. You know, if all that I'm seeing and doing just represents the world and this realm and this planet, what about the rest? And the rest of the created realms, not just the physical created universe, but the spiritually created universe, because that was what Adam had authority in, but obviously gave it away. Now Jesus has restored it and is giving it back to us, and we really need to take it seriously and embrace it. But it's good, you know. I'm feeling full of stuff, having been incubating things for a while. So sometimes it just comes out. Anyway, does anyone got any questions?
We love all that you're sharing, Mike. It's awesome. Go ahead, Pena.
One quick question. You mentioned the diagram to use trauma.
All right. Yeah.
Where do I get that?
I think I just sent it by email to you, to the rest, I think. I can send it you. Yeah, I'll just send it as an attachment. So, yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Because I've been doing a lot of cleansing and daily recommitting myself to the Lord as a living, willing sacrifice. And I went to the courts of heaven yesterday, and I cleaned house with all the junk and everything that was revealed to me. So, like I said, that page is blank, and I want to start right.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. Okay. All right. Someone else is going to ask something?
Well, yeah. I was just, you asked a question, so I was just kind of waiting. You know, I'm overwhelmed with humility of just all God's doing. You know how he just pulls you in and you're just like, you have really, I can't communicate as well as you and everybody else, but I can feel the pull, and I have three streams I'm really strongly and they all interconnect, and it's just kind of overwhelming because I can see, but to communicate, it's way up here, you know, or it's way down deep in my spirit. Yeah. And I'm okay with that because that's just how I am. I kind of just receive things as a child. But some of the bigness of what I'm seeing is huge. You know, even just in my area, just the spirit of death. Mm. So, you know, there's lots of things, and we had a huge incident with the police. And, I mean, my spirit was just like praying because it was so big. Mm. And I've been praying over areas, you know, when I feel it. So I've been exercising that authority, and then I went on a land mission that was about a deep ancient wound, you know, before pre-flood, and it was very eye-opening of the things the Lord's been showing me, because it's just my heart. I want the land free, and I want to see people step in the fullness. I want to see the body of Christ moving where they need to be moving, and it's outside the walls. You know, forget about all this, you know, make-believe is how I kind of look at it, fixing us up, because we're going to get fixed as we go out, you know.
Yep.
And you know, it's just the deep cry in me, and that's why I've been in the church, and I've been stuck in the church, even though I don't fit in the church, and blah, blah, blah. So I've been just exercising this, and then I love seeing people free, so I'm exercising that and pouring myself out and being in the midst of all these streams and the cleansing of it all, and you almost feel like, okay, Lord, what do I say and do in the midst of all this? And then, you know, you go, and recently it's just like he's saying, listen, so I'm just kind of shut up until he, you know, tells me to talk. And when I do talk, it does come out and I learn. So it's just interesting. You know, it's pretty big and it's very humbling, but I really feel like there's something he's called me to. I couldn't put a word on it. I don't know if it's a Joshua generation. I just know it's bigger than me, and I'm okay with however to walk into that, if that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely. Because it's the heart that God is beginning to touch, and to resonate with. And that will bring us to draw towards the desires that have always been there for reconciliation and restoration and rebuilding the ancient ruins and, all the stuff that's there in the scripture that, we've read and we've heard, but actually now we're starting to see actually this is our calling, is to restore creation. And it may start one person at a time, or one group at a time, but actually God is going to restore everything to original condition. And, it is going to be nothing like it is now. This is why we have to prepare, because we have to operate from a different system of government. We cannot be affected by the things that and the circumstances that are going on around us in the world. We have to live from the eye of the storm, a place of peace and rest, knowing who we are, knowing our authority as children of God, and releasing that authority beyond the veil, because everything has to be done beyond the veil. We have to administer the kingdom beyond the veil so that we can become a gateway to release that on earth as it is in heaven. And we can't just walk in this sphere any longer. We have to accept the call to come up here, and I will begin to show you how you can begin to administer the kingdom, how you can begin to operate in the fullness of lordship and kingship and sonship, and legislating and putting boundary stones in and actually creating these places where everything, the laws of nature, will be suspended for those that live in those things, because we live under a higher government. We will be an embassy of heaven, and it will look like heaven within those places. And everyone else is going to want a touch of heaven. I'm not saying it's not going to be a battle, or we don't have to go and subdue, because we do have to subdue, but we subdue from the realms of heaven, not subduing from the realms of earth. And therefore, we're not going to go like previous generations have tried to stop this and stop that, and Christians are a bunch of killjoys because they just don't want you to do this, and they placard this and they protest this. Actually, we don't do any of that. We take authority in the heavens, and we move mountains, and we change the course of rivers. And if we need a water source within our city of refuge, we'll change the course of a river to run through us. And we will have authority to change and shape matter and to do things in a totally different dimension, because that's who we are. We're sons of God. We have the creative ability of God in us to release through us, but we have to do it beyond the veil so that we can walk in who we are there, here, and live in those dual realms, constantly connected to the full source of heaven. And we are that house of God. We are a gateway of heaven. Our lives outwork that in everything we do. Now you can look around and think, oh, that's just so impossible because look at the world. No, we have to look into heaven. If we're looking into darkness, darkness will proliferate and grow in us. If we keep looking into the light, then we will become children of light. If we keep looking into what God says and who he is, we will become like him. And so we need to stop looking at that which the enemy's doing and look at what God's purposes are, then change things to line up with God's purposes. And that's a whole shift, which is why we need to learn to administrate the things of heaven. Because once we've established this and we're called into this, the old ways of the previous generation will no longer function. They will not work. There will be no grace in it and no glory upon it, because actually we've crossed over and we've left it in the wilderness. therefore we have to embrace the new, and you know, it's exciting. You know, it's exciting to be able to outwork this stuff and to see just the beginnings of it and just begin to see what I'm doing in it. And you look around and you can see people coming into alignments and strategic alignments in the kingdom and relationships forming and God moving people and things around, repositioning people, as you said earlier, because he's got this stuff that he wants done, and he's looking for a people who are willing to say, yeah, let it be us. You know, let's embrace being Joshua and Caleb with a different spirit so we can outwork that ministry of Joseph, which was to be the resource for the world. You know, you know, when you read that story of, you know, the, of the storehouses and strategically receiving the 20% of the harvest into those strategic storehouses, then the whole world came because there was famine everywhere else. And there will be famine in the world, whether it be physical famine or a spiritual famine, a famine of nothing is going to work when all the systems of the world get shaken and only the kingdom remains. Everything else is going to fail. So let's be operating a new system. The ambassadors of heaven, living from heaven's resource and heaven's health and heaven's wholeness and heaven's power and authority, then we can really actually see transformation. Because that just sets the administrative place that we can go and bring dominion and take the garden. Because literally what we're doing, we're setting up gardens that reflect the garden that's in our heart on earth, connected to the garden of God in heaven, and so that we can be blessed, we can be fruitful, we can multiply, we can fill the earth, and we can subdue and have dominion. God's plan A never changed. We still get to fulfill the original prophetic declaration over mankind, was to bring dominion in partnership with heaven, being a fourth of that, one of the four faces of God, if you like, and that we reflect all the four faces of God on earth. You know, and there's great stuff with, you know, bringing the apostolic and the prophetic and the ark and the priest and the king in heaven as the ark, and how that will release manifestation on earth of that. Which, I mean, there's so much stuff that God's releasing in these days, and it's awesome stuff. But when it comes down to it, this is only going to work for those who are willing to present themselves as living sacrifices. You know, this is not an easy path, and we have to be dead. You know, and great, we don't have to kill ourselves. We just surrender to the high priest, and he'll do the work. But we've got to keep surrendering, and we've got to keep choosing to worship, which is to bow down in obedience and then do whatever he says, you know. And he's going to get us to do some pretty wild stuff, you know. And we'll get to do pretty wild stuff by being faithful to do the little stuff that he's telling us to do now. But it's good stuff that's coming, without a doubt, you know. So, yeah. Really good.
Mike, can I share a really brief story of wild stuff?
Yeah, sure.
I was coming home, and one of my boys saw a cat had gotten run over in our driveway, and the cat was flat except for the head, that he was still alive or dying. And so I told my boys, go in the house, and I went over to the cat, and I said, I was calling animal control to clean it up, and the Lord really impressed me to pray for him to be restored to wholeness. And I did, and the Lord did it. And I literally saw the Lord blow him back up. He was flat, and I saw him blow him back up to normal. And the cat got up and walked away. I freaked out. I've never done anything so wild. So, yes, awesome. Some wild things. And that took a lot of dying to myself.
Because in a sense we have to get over ourselves, because it's not about us, you know. I mean, we had a series of revival meetings here in 2011, which we had 87 days of meetings every night, and we saw amazing things as manifestations of things. And the guy who was helping us do that, he had this little phrase. He said, you know, if you want to know what real revival is, it's basically this. Repent, face the truth, and get over yourself. Because actually, when we do that, we are a channel of God. And nothing is impossible with God, who, when he is in us, can manifest himself through us. So let's let God loose, you know, to do whatever he wants. So, yeah, raising cats from the dead, awesome. But actually, what a, next time it may be a person who may be flat and God pumps back up. Why not? You know, because now you have faith to believe, because you have a testimony, and you can take the fruit of that testimony, you can release it into the atmosphere wherever to see that repeated over and over again. And we're going to see more and more wild stuff like that, you know. And it will be headline news. This stuff will not be hidden. You know, right now, we're doing things like that and no one really is seeing it. But it will be headline news. The things that we will be doing will be known. They will be seen. And no one will be able to deny that it's the awesome power of heaven invading earth with the things that are going to take place, you know, which is pretty good stuff. And it is a privilege to be involved. It is, you know, deep down, it's like, you know, I'm really aware of the awesomeness of the responsibility that we've been given. Not that it's a heavy thing, but it's still a responsibility that we've been called to exercise. You know, we're coming to maturity, which means no longer is it going to be God, will you do this, can you do that, will you do this? No, we get to do it. In his authority and in his power, we get to do it. And we will just bring glory to him. It will all be about bringing glory to him. And as he's lifted up in glory, more and more people will be drawn to him. You know, as the mountain of the house of the Lord is lifted up, people will be drawn to him. We just got to start operating in authority on that mountain and seeing the church restored back to its God-ordained prophetic calling to be that mountain. You know, and, you know, whether church, as it's known, gets transformed, or God is going to raise up ecclesia, which is nothing of the religious institution, that's up to him. But I know judgment is coming when God is going to start to draw a line and say, that's me and that is done. And I want to make sure I'm on the right side of the line when it comes, because there's no punishment with it. There's just a judgment that says, this is me. Who's going to acknowledge me and who's going to follow me? Because when the cloud moves, we've got to go with it. You know. So there we go. Anyway, that's been good fun today. Good stuff sharing. So I've enjoyed myself. It's been good.